What a happy day it is at JoeBucksFan.com world headquarters. The Sage is back. Mr. Ira Kaufman in the house with his award-winning podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz, a Joe Bucks fan. Lee DeKemper is here, and we are firing away. It's our second podcast this week, Ira. I got some news for you, but first, how are you? How's that cold? I can't tell you the outpouring of emails I got. How's Ira? It's cold. What's going on?
I'm trying to force feed a little Riesling, a little beet salad. Javier, it ain't working. You better send me something from Panama. Get your girlfriend to do some kind of a stew for me. Don't tell me what's in it, because if you tell me what's in it, I ain't going near it, but I'll take it. I'm a lot better. I'm a lot better. The whole family situation is a lot better. You know, I'm going to be up and going, because we don't sleep on this podcast. As we're about to tell in the next 45 minutes, there's no barrier on Buck News, Lee. That's what we specialize
in. There never is, but I thought you said, I'm a Ledbetter. And I'm like, I didn't know you and Daryl Ledbetter were that close.
He's quite a character.
He's a good guy.
He wears a bow tie. He's the only guy in town.
He's a good dude.
You know, other than ESPN, I guess, covers the Falcons.
He's a good dude.
The one paper town. Good dude.
Works his tail off.
Might have been a former lawyer in another life. I think
Daryl was?
He might have been an attorney.
We're talking about the Atlanta Journal-Constitution beat writer, D. Orlando Ledbetter. As people see him on Twitter. Yeah, former attorney. But I got to give him a lot of credit. It's an old story, Ira, but it's a good one. I realized it's one you probably don't know. Once upon a time, the NFL teams used to put on their website, it was usually buried, but it was on their website, the conference call of the week with the quarterback of that team and the visiting media. Right, or whoever the player was selected for the week. They don't really do that as much anymore, and it's off the websites now. But once upon a time, Josh Freeman was on the conference call with the Atlanta media. So I listened to all those things, unlike my newspaper brethren who couldn't be bothered hearing what the quarterback has to say. And Ledbetter has a very distinctive voice.
As does the Sage, without question.
Without question, of course. I hear Ledbetter take a shot under his breath, because the microphone picked it up, at Josh Freeman. So I wrote it up.
Taking a shot to a fellow scribe over there?
No, Ledbetter took a shot at Josh Freeman under his breath, not for Freeman to hear, like in the room where the teleconference was.
And but it was audible.
It was audible, so I wrote it up. And it made national headlines. And Ledbetter, to his credit, he was cool with it. He's like, hey, I said it. You know, I shouldn't have said it, and I messed up. But so, and Lee once jumped into a taxi with him at a Super Bowl or the Combine, and we hadn't talked to him personally yet after that, and Lee's like, oh boy, but he was totally cool with it.
Matter of fact, I think it was an airport shuttle, Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and he piled on right when I did. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And he big smile on his face, goes, man, you guys hammered me. He goes, but I deserved it. So he's a good dude. He's really good dude.
I think I took a pot shot on a conference call with Drew Brees 3 years ago. I think I muttered under my breath, stop beating up on the Bucks, goddammit. Give them a break. You're killing them.
The best one you ever had, I don't know what you would call it, dialogue of yours that popped up on Buccaneers.com. It shouldn't have.
Can I find it? Is it still there, Lee? You'll find it.
I would not be surprised if it's still there, but it would take, for you, it'd take you 3 days. For me, it'd take about 6 hours.
All right, what happened?
Raheem was starting to walk up to the podium. It was back in Raheem days. And this was back when Steve Dumig was doing a live broadcast from training camp. And it was right after practice. Dumig was on the air. It was like, you know, late afternoon. Raheem, you know, as he's walking up the field, did his spot, which it was scheduled with Dumig. And then he goes to the podium at One Buck Plows for, at that time, it was nothing but scribes. So he gets to the podium. As he's walking to the podium, you or somebody asked him, where were you? He goes, I was with Dumig. And you're like, in exasperation, you got nothing left once you've been with Dumig. You've got nothing left once Dumig's had you. That's what it was.
I don't even remember that. You got to find that for me. It sounds like something I would have said, though.
Just to finish the funness, Ira, because I didn't realize the quote was this good, I went back to look at what Ledbetter actually said under his breath, and I'll just read it to you. And I'll read it to you straight from Joe Bucks Fan in 2012. This week, the Bucks player was Josh Freeman on the conference call. Ledbetter, as Joe documented, pressed Freeman for a reason for his woeful 2011 season. Blah, blah, blah. Ledbetter was looking under rocks for an unknown injury, it seemed. After Ledbetter's line of questioning led to nothing, Another unnamed reporter started a question, but Ledbetter clearly could be heard in the background muttering, "So you just sucked." And we wrote it up, and now Ledbetter apologized publicly.
That's
so
unbelievable.
That was fun. A lot of fun. All right.
But that was Schiano's first year. And then he was coming off the Raheem had just been fired.
Yeah.
And it was Schiano's first year.
And they were playing very well at that point. So fun times. And you know what? We're looking into the history, Ira, but we've got plenty going forward. A lot going on in the world of the Buccaneers. First, let me let everybody know the podcast is available at iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Leave a review. We haven't called for reviews in a long time, but let Ira know what you think. And we always like to take a look at that for fun.
You said you had some news for me, Isbitz. What do you got for me?
I've got all kinds of things, Ira. You know, I don't even
know. I
thought
you were about to tell me I'm back in the top 50. I'm ahead of Nancy Grace. That's the kind of news that'll quell this cold over here.
You know, I had somebody tell me that they crack up every time you mention Nancy Grace. But gosh, no, Ira.
Boy, if she dropped out of sight. You know, she made her bones on the OJ trial. When the verdict came down, it was over for Nancy Grace. You know, a week later, she was toast. She hasn't done a thing since. It's been 25 freaking years. Come on now. Still ahead of me. She's still ahead of me on a podcast, Steve. That's a problem. I got to drop more OJ references into this podcast.
Ira, general manager Brian Danahy at Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa. He does not want you to miss the big President's Day sale, which is going on right now. Get a 2019 XT4 premium luxury, $319 a month, plus get up to $5,000 more for your trade. Hurry to our big President's Day sale at Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. And, of course, the sale is on 24-7 at edmoorescadillactampa.com. They have all the details. And at Ed Moore's Cadillac, Brandon Sage, it is just extraordinary there, right there on Causeway Boulevard. And, of course, the website, edmoorescadillactbrandon.com. If you head over there, Ira, you're going to see unbelievable opportunities. The new 2019 XT4 is in and ready for delivery. And the Instacash trade event, get up to $5,000 more for your trade-in, Ira. The opportunities, the lease offers are endless. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And lastly, Sage, I have to put it out there because it's my favorite kind of shopping. 0% APR for 72 months for qualified buyers on 2018 CT6, XT5, and the 2018 Escalade, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Now, Ira,
if you gave me a little more cash, I'd be one of those qualified buyers over there, Isbitz.
Hey, you were just complaining about cash a few minutes ago. It was quite a rant.
Hey, I want to do a little shout-out to the commish. I was listening to his, I believe it's his latest podcast. Boy, does he get into it. The passion level's off the charts, Steve. And he was talking about, you know, how he's going to get, I don't know if he mentioned stick carriers by name, but he just talked about the fan base.
The Bucks mob.
Well, yeah, the Bucks mob. And he's going to do it with Bruce Arians. And all I got to do is start winning a little bit, Steve. Won't take much. So I salute the commish because he is a Buck fan through and through. He's loyal. He doesn't give up on this franchise when he's had every reason to. So keep up the good work there, my man.
Ira's column was hard-hitting the other day. We don't have to go back to that, Ira. But you really gave it to Jason Light on the Vinnie Curry signing. And so I would encourage anyone to look at that. Donovan Smith, Ira, appeared on Good Morning Football, and he had a lot to say. Obviously,
well, what's the matter? Mitch Unrein was unavailable? They come up with Donovan Smith?
That's an agent kind of thing, where the agent books him on there. We're counting down to free agency. What do you make of that, and what do you think?
Well, it's obviously a ploy by the agent to get him out there. Smart. I would have done the same thing if I was the agent. A little higher profile than being the left tackle for a team coming off 2-5-11 seasons. Look, I said it right up front. He's not bad. He's not a bad football player. He's not an elite football player. He's somewhere in that great middle, and he's going to ask for a lot of money. And can the Bucs do better? Well, be careful. Be careful. If you're not sure you can do better, you know, you got to sign him to an extension or you got to franchise the guy. I'm not arguing with that point. I'm just very curious to see when Bruce Arians and his offensive coaches evaluate the tape of Donovan Smith. 4 years, 64 games, durability unquestioned. He's got a lot of pride, and he's always going to show up for work. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that, Steve. But what about the actual work? Well, it's okay. And is that good enough for Bruce Arians? We're about to find out. But as far as the Good Morning, you know, football broadcast and appearance, I think it makes a lot of sense. Other teams see that. He's available. He's out there. And we'll see if the Bucks let him test the marketplace. Lee said it before, and I can't disagree with Mr. DeKemper. He's going to get paid. Somebody's going to pay him. Mm-hmm. Question is it going to be the Bucks? Lee, I'm still not sure they've made a decision on this guy. I'm not sure they have. You're not going to find one in free agency. You're not. You're not going to find a left tackle.
Maybe not. I doubt it. I think you're right. I think he's back. Now, everything about his appearance on Good Morning Football, he never gave any inkling. Let's put it this way. He didn't talk like a guy who's going to be playing outside of Tampa Bay this fall. I mean, he talked about how he was working out last week at One Buck Place, and he decided he was going to introduce himself to the coaches just so people don't know. Because of NFLPA rules, coaches have to have very limited contact with players during the offseason outside of a bro hug. Hi, how you doing? That's about it. And so he decided to introduce himself to the coaches. Number one, you won't work out at One Buck Place if you're thinking you're going to be elsewhere. And that's number one. Number two, you wouldn't introduce yourself to the new coaches if you thought you were going to be going elsewhere. And he was very excited about the new season. Said he can't wait to play for these coaches. Well, that's number three. You don't go out and say, man, I can't wait. I'm excited if you're going to play for the Bears or something next year. So everything about him, everything in between the lines, his body language, everything stated he's coming back. Now, when he was bluntly asked, are you coming back? He lawyer's route. I don't know. You know, I hope so. I like Tampa. You know, he was mum about that, but he gave no inclination whatsoever that he's upset with the Bucks, that he's mad, that he wants to go elsewhere. He's none of that.
Steve, so, I know he's excited about, Bruce Arians as a new coach, but Steve, for perspective and to be fair, I don't think Donovan Smith can say anything about a lack of support from Dirk Cutter. I think Dirk Cutter repeatedly went out of his way to support Donovan Smith and say that he thinks he's a top 10 left tackle. So you can't pin anything on Dirk Cutter in that regard.
At the end of last season when Dirk Cutter, not last season, two seasons ago, when Dirk Cutter was asked about the offensive line, I asked him to highlight some positives. He only went to Dotson and Donovan Smith. And then again, this year, Cutter must have said at least twice publicly, hey, he gets a bad rap,
right.
He had his back all the way through. Now, speaking of having his back, I'm glad you brought that up, Sage. It's gone national today, and I wrote it up on Joe Bucks Fan this morning. Jameis Winston made some comments during the Super Bowl, during his little tour, just something to add to the list of bizarre comments that Jameis made. Some people don't think it's bizarre. They think he was just being honest. But if he is being honest, to me, it's a little bizarre and a little troubling. Jameis was asked in a CBS interview to talk about his comeback from being benched. And how did you get yourself right mentally to deal with that? Because that's not easy. And Jameis said it was all about self-evaluation. And I'll read you the quote. He said, I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, hey, Jameis, what do you have to do? And that was simply get back to playing Jameis Winston football, be yourself, have that swag. Don't try to be something that a coach is trying to get you to be. You got to go and be you. Hey, Ira, it seems a little odd for him to say something like that. That what did the coaches want him to be? Nobody told him to throw a bunch of picks.
Steve, what it does, it reinforces the suspicions that all was not right between Jameis Winston and his head coach. The guy who was hired specifically to raise Jameis Winston's game, to raise him into an elite quarterback in this league. It hasn't happened yet. And I don't think it's a stretch to suggest that in Jameis Winston's mind, the reason he's not an elite quarterback, a lot of it is the coaching that he's been getting. That seems to be the suggestion. I understand that. Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Lee, I don't believe I'm wrong here, but didn't he finish kind of strong in 2017 after the injuries and those last five games, everybody was excited. And the next thing a couple of starts into 2018, the guy's benched for three games. So let's not go crazy over a hot December by Jameis Winston. We've seen it before. But the specific line that's chilling, in a way, is don't try to be something that the coaches are trying to make you be. Well, Dirk Cutter's got to laugh when he reads that, because in Dirk Cutter's mind, he was trying to make him a great quarterback. And Winston says, I got to have the swag. The problem was you were throwing too many picks, Jameis, trying to be the way you want to be. That's why Cutter was trying to calm you down. That's why Cutter was trying to change your decision-making. So, you know, Jameis was the way he wanted to be in 2016 and 2017 and 2018 for the most part, and it hasn't worked, Lee. We'll see how it works with Bruce Arians. But it reinforces that story from a couple of years ago that all was not right between Cutter and Winston.
This whole thing, you know what it reminds me of? And I'm going to try to visualize it for people. Think of a backbone that has all kinds of ribs. You can go any which way. There are so many mixed messages Jameis is pumping out of late. And I mean, when I say mixed messages, it borders on hypocritical, but I'm not going to use the word hypocritical, even though I just used it.
Is the Kemper now mentioning something about ribs? What's going on here?
Here's the thing. Well, me being a trained journalist.
You're thinking about Kansas City. That's what you're
thinking
about.
No, I'm thinking about when I write stories, the focus of your story is quite literally a backbone. And the side issues are the ribs that go out sideways.
Look at this. We're getting a little journalism lesson from Mr. D.
Jameis says he wasn't him and he went back to being him. Jameis was neutered the second half of the season. I saw it with my own eyes. Steve said it many times before. That wasn't the same Jameis that was out there the second half of the season. He said he had to go out there with swag. He had to go out there and be him. No, that wasn't him. That wasn't him at all. Part of the reason why the Bucs drafted him. Oh, no. Oh, I thought he's writing something down. He's playing on the laptop.
That's
okay.
Right.
I'm
when he writes down, we get nervous.
Part of the reason he was drafted is because of his high wire act. He put teams on his back at Florida State, carried them. That's part of the reason why. He was more Alex Smith than Jameis Winston in the second half of the season. Even his demeanor, he was bottled up. So I don't understand what he's trying to say, number one. Number two, you brought up that Jameis was horrible. No, I don't think he was horrible. Everybody points at the friggin' win-loss record. Jameis didn't play linebacker. Jameis didn't play defensive end. Jameis didn't rush the quarterback. Jameis didn't care. Jameis didn't play defense.
I didn't say he was horrible. I said he wasn't nearly a top echelon quarterback. Not nearly.
If your top echelon is Brady, no, he was not, but who is? Okay. I don't disagree with what you're saying. He was a good quarterback, but the win-loss record didn't reflect that. And I'll argue all night long about that with anybody who wants to argue with me. I don't know what Jameis is getting at. I really don't. He's all over the map, you know?
I think Lee's making a good point here, Steve, because the last four or five games where I think everybody would say Jameis finished the season strong, he wasn't throwing the ball all over the field. He was more under control, Steve, so I don't get this swag thing. I'm getting all kinds of mixed signals from Jameis Winston.
Here's another one. Jameis is already on record saying part of the reason why he was throwing all those picks, he saw Fitzpatrick throwing the way he was throwing when Jameis was, sent his three-game sentence from his Uber hassle thanks to strongman Roger Goodell. He thought he had to do better than Fitzpatrick as far as just wing, throw the ball down the field. Well, that got him in trouble. And so when he said he wasn't being me and, I got to go back to being me, well, you're the one that decided you were going to try to be Fitzpatrick.
Right.
I was
going to bring that up. I'm glad Lee probably said it better than I did.
Yeah, Ira, when you and I did the podcast, Steve was, had other issues he was taking care of. And you and I did the podcast when I got back from Atlanta, just you two. And you asked me about Jameis Winston talking, and I basically said, well, I like that he's talking, but I think he needs to shut up.
This
is a perfect example. He's all over the map.
As Lee said so wonderfully, I was actually going to write this tomorrow, let this thing simmer. But he's the one who said, I was spending too much time being Fitzpatrick, and then now I got to be me, and now I can't be who the coaches were telling. That's like
who told him to be Fitzpatrick?
Nobody told him to be Fitzpatrick. But the point is, I think of this story, Ira, of what I think is a little scary about Jameis's quote. Now, keep in mind, I saw the interview. I watched him say it. He said it with emphasis. It wasn't like a one-off. Jameis paints a picture, and I believe Jameis is a smart guy. So we have readers on Joe Bucks Fan Ira who would try to say, oh, you're picking apart Jameis's words. No, Jameis hasn't talked nationally for months and months and months and months. He decided to come. He knew what the questions were going to be, and these were his answers. Jameis painted a picture of going home during the suspension, looking in the mirror and saying, all right, Jameis, you got to stop listening to Monken or Cutter. You got to start being you. That's a very immature quarterback.
I don't get it, Steve. The idea that he was put in a straitjacket by Monken Cutter, I reject it. I reject it. They just wanted him to make better decisions. And it was reflected in his December performance. Made better decisions, less turnovers. The number one killer of the Bucs in 2018, everybody knows it.
Turnovers.
Everybody knows it. And Fitzpatrick's part of that. Fitzpatrick told me at the end of the year, we threw too many interceptions, whether it was me or Jameis. We threw too many. He was the first guy to include himself.
I got to stick up for Cutter here. Cutter often said, you know, we don't want to turn Jameis to check down Charlie. You know, Jameis is the quarterback he is because of who he is. And when we got to deal with that. We can't turn him into being, again, check down Charlie. And, you know, if we got to live with a few interceptions, we've got to live with a few interceptions. That's the way Jameis is. And as I stated earlier, the Bucs hired him in part, or drafted him in part, because he's a high wire act. He wasn't Alex Smith. Cutter panicked last year. Jameis, yeah, maybe he should have been benched, but he panicked by benching him. He should have sat Jameis down, which he did, but what he should have told Jameis was, look, man, this is going to be your permanent spot if you don't get your head out of your rear end. Instead, he benched him while Fitzpatrick was throwing games away, scoring 3 points when they had 500 yards, 3 points. And still he wouldn't put Jameis in the lineup until Fitzpatrick got to the point where there was no way in hell they can keep Fitzpatrick in the lineup. And then, and I stated before, Steve will back me up, Jameis was a neutered quarterback when he came in. So I think Cutter panicked last year, and he basically told Jameis, dude, the only way you're going to get another snap is you got to be handoff Harry.
And Steve, let me make this point as strongly as I can. I hope Winston isn't under the impression that Arians is going to be more tolerant of turnovers than Dirk Cutter. That ain't going to happen. Bruce Arians ain't going to put up with it. He's already said it. Yeah, I'll deal with one interception. Three? Absolutely not.
It's as simple as this. If Jameis does what he claims he's going to do, I'm going to be Jameis and the hell with the coaches. He's curtains in Tampa Bay. Arians won't put up with that crap.
It's just strange, Ira, especially since through the last 8 games, I wrote this a few times, the Bucs averaged, I think, 20.8 points a game.
You're right.
Jameis wasn't putting up a bunch of points. It's not all on him. He played great in the final game, but nobody confused him with a great quarterback when he came back. They just weren't putting up a lot of points. It's not that it means he played bad. It's just, you know, it's just a weird attitude for a 4-year veteran. Put it in the category of things ex-quarterbacks, great quarterbacks don't say. Now, maybe Jameis just wants to be a more candid guy, but would you hear this from another quarterback? Strange.
We'll see what the dialogue is between Leftwich and Winston. It's going to be intriguing.
You know what I hate? I hate to say this because this implies all sorts of things. I'm not trying to imply what I'm about to say. I'm not implying anything. But the stuff that Jameis is saying, he's all over the map. It sounds like a drunk dude trying to hit on chicks walking out the door of the bar. That's what it sounds like. I mean, he's all over the place. It makes no sense.
It's baffling, Ira. And, we're very pro Jameis. We'd love to see the guy succeed. And
Maybe he misspoke, Steve. Maybe.
No, I don't think so at all. I think he's just being straight, and he's feeling comfortable, emboldened by Arians is here. I can get back to being me. And I have the backing of the organization. I'm going public. I'm just going to talk.
You know, I've said this before, Lee. I think this is a very important point. I think your man Cameron in Tallahassee would agree with me 1,000%. You ain't at FSU. You don't have the superior talent, sometimes in a landslide, where you can get down, 14-3 at the half, and you end up winning the game, 31-17, and nobody remembers that you stunk in the first half and threw 3 picks. This ain't the same thing.
You're not playing Louisville.
You have less talent in most cases than the opposition. You can't be giving away possessions. It doesn't work like that. And I thought Winston realized that, and now I'm not sure that he does.
I don't know what, it's the point when he goes on his national shows, I think he's talking just to talk. I don't even think it's well thought out what he's saying. He's just.
I don't want him going out there thinking I can't throw one interception. That's crippling. You don't want that.
But I don't think he thinks that.
You can't lose. You can't go out there and lose the game for your team. Well, didn't Cutter used to say you're the only guy that can lose the game? Yeah, he used to say that.
And in some ways, it came true. The irony is that one of the things Jameis was saying this offseason during his tour of the Super Bowl was, that's one thing I learned. I can't be the guy to, I don't have to win the game, but I can't be the guy to lose the game. It's like, well, Cutter was telling you that, and Hard Knocks.
He should have stopped right there and not said any more.
It'll be a fascinating marriage, the Winston-Arian marriage, and we'll watch it. You know, we're 6 weeks from them getting back on the practice field, and Arians with Leftwich and Clyde Christensen, just saying that makes me cringe, the Clyde Christensen thing.
Yeah.
But you have to think that they have a real mental plan for Jameis. Is Arians going to want to be all over him early? Is he going to wait, coddle him, and then get all over him in June, send him off to the summer vacation thinking, I better get my ass in gear? I wonder what the mentality, because it's all psychological, this stuff, and Arians is a master at this kind of stuff.
You know, one thing I always think about it with Arians in Arizona, the last significant game that Arians has ever coached in the NFL was that game against Carolina, playoff game.
Oh.
They got destroyed. They committed seven giveaways. I don't remember if Palmer threw four picks, five picks, but he was awful. They destroyed Carson Palmer. Carolina had a hell of a defense that year. Hell of a defense. That's what Bruce Arians remembers. His last 2 years were very forgettable. They didn't play any big games.
Didn't Matt Stover quarterback?
And Arians went into that Carolina game thinking, I got a Super Bowl team here. I got a team that can win it all. And they were never in the game. They never gave themselves a chance. So, Jameis, you better remember that. That's the game that Bruce Arians keeps reflecting on in Arizona.
All right, Sage, before we hit the next topic, I wanted to throw some Sage healing vibes out to Sean, the big boss over at FanRetreat.com, our good friend. Unfortunately, he blew his knee out. I heard he was trying to become the next Bucks kicker and was doing pretty well, and he's going in for ACL surgery. So, some healing vibes.
Oh, I thought he wanted to be the next Quan Alexander.
Sean, wishing you a speedy recovery. I'll get you on the tennis court in about 3 months. There we go.
All right, Sage. All right. I brought this up the other day, Ira, because, you know, I'm looking into all the free agent class. And, you know, most Bucks websites or most Bucks media fans, they're focused on who we can get. I've been very focused this offseason on who wants our guys. You know, where's...
Well, you've made a big point in the past couple of years, Steve. Nobody wants our guy.
Right. It used to be very easy, but now people want Adam Humphries. People are talking about this guy. And the more I was looking at it and the positions of desire out there, I had to throw out there, Ira, that, you know, Cameron Brate, the guy's earning $7 million.
He's not a free agent.
I know, but to play part-time, and the Bucks actually could cut him with no penalty, or they could trade him. And I'm not advocating it. I like the guy, but if you have to put the question out there, would you rather have part-time Cam Brate coming off an injury, or would you rather have enough money to make sure Humphries stays in the building? The Bucks might have to decide that.
I don't like that either or that you set up there, Mr. Risbeth. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I'm a Brate guy, and more importantly, Lee, Jameis Winston is a Brate guy.
There's another factor, a significant factor.
I'm not saying Jameis Winston doesn't like Adam Humphries, because who wouldn't? Like Brate, he doesn't drop any balls. He's reliable.
Well,
he's dependable.
Mostly, and yeah. You're missing one major factor. Steve,
I disagree with your premise that Cameron Brate's a part-time guy. I know O.J. Howard can do things that Brate can't do. But gosh darn it, Lee, a tight end that can catch 7 or 8 touchdown passes, I'm not ready to give up on that guy. I'm not.
Well, it's not just that. You're overlooking a major factor here. And I like this guy. Well, I'm about ready to say, you know, whenever you're remotely objective about someone, people are like, oh, you hate him. I want to strangle people that miss you, that don't know the definition of hate. I really do. I'm going to joke these people.
Lee hates them.
Yeah. When is the last time O.G. Howard played a full season? If you're going to get rid of Cam Brate, that means you think O.G. Howard's going to play 16 games. What gives you that impression?
I think it's very risky. Very, very risky to trade Cameron Brate.
And right now I can hear people screaming, what do you mean O.J. Howard can't play 16 games? Number one, he hasn't done it yet. Number two, you're banking a premise on a hope. Can't do
that.
I
think Arians is going to have all kinds of schemes and formations using two tight ends. I think he's going to love it.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that out. That's what I meant by the initial segue, Ira. Look, can you name a Bruce Arians tight end who played for him with the Cardinals in 5 years?
No, but I can name a guy with the Steelers.
I believe they used two tight end formations a lot those first couple of years when Arians came to Arizona.
The first year they got some production out of the tight end position. After that, nothing. They just didn't do it.
Maybe they didn't have the talent.
That's true. I wrote down the quote here. You disagree with my premise.
Well, your premise being that he's a part-time
guy. He is
player.
A part-time guy. That's not a premise.
He has been a part-time
The stats.
Guy.
He's not number one.
When he's on the field, as far as the snaps,
how do you know that's not going to change?
Part-time. I don't.
They're going to use O.G. Howard less because of Bray?
I didn't say that. I said they're going to
use
both.
That's what you're insinuating.
If you're going to go two tight ends a lot, then are you going to pay Humphreys when you're playing two tight ends a lot?
Well, you're going to dump DeSean Jackson, which is what he wants.
Right, but Humphreys doesn't play outside. He's an inside
John
only
Brown.
Guy. And then you got Godwin.
I see teams in the playoffs all the time without DeSean Jackson on the roster.
Yeah, me too.
So.
I don't know, Ira. You got to cut the money somewhere. If you're going to pay Donovan Smith, that puts more money on the offense.
I'm going to pay Donovan Smith. My jury's still out on that, man.
I don't know. Is there another team in the league who pays a number two tight end $7 million? I haven't found one.
I think Brate's valuable. I think he's got value.
He's got value, but you can't pay everybody. I don't know.
I don't think they're actively looking to get rid of him.
I don't think that's where you have to make your stand with Cameron.
Yeah, I mean, if O.G. Howard had played 29 games in his first 2 years, then, yeah, I could see the selection. And by the way, the day after O.G. Howard was drafted, the very next day, fill in the blank, I said trade the tight end that you didn't draft first round. A certain high-level person at One Buck Palace went wild on me, all but cussed me out. And I replied, so you're saying you're going to have money for both O.J. Howard and Brate? Is that what you're telling me, that you don't have to worry about a salary cap? And the guy replied, well, now that you put it that way. Well, yeah, that's how I put it.
Well, O.J. Howard's on a rookie contract.
But here's a major but. Again, O.J. Howard has not played a full season yet. If he played 29 games of the first 2 years, I would say, yeah, he's expendable. I don't think he's expendable right now.
Steve, how much money are they committing to the tight end position right now with Howard on a rookie contract?
I understand.
Is it outrageous? I mean,
it's not outrageous at all. But
speaking of the salary, may I make a few salient points, Mr. Risbon?
Make several, please.
All right. Lee, tell me where I'm wrong, and I know you don't need a lot of urging.
That's not a point, Ira. Make the damn point.
There it is.
Uh-oh.
I think you could very convincingly argue, and I hope Jason Light's listening, and he might mute this podcast after I say it.
I don't think he listens to it.
They have squandered a hell of an opportunity the last 4 years because they've had a quarterback that ain't taken up much cap space. You got to make hay when you have that. Look what Seattle did with young Russell Wilson. They added pieces, expensive pieces, because Wilson wasn't costing them any money. You got to take advantage of that. And here we are, and now Winston's going to get paid. And where are you? You're coming off 2 5-11s. That is unacceptable, DeKemper.
3 years ago, when we were on Weekly with Steve Dumig, the big dog, and I won't get into why we're not on the air anymore. Steve and I said that on his radio show, heard throughout the Tampa Bay area.
You got a decent quarterback on a rookie contract.
We said, Steve and I both said, and we wrote about it at the time more than a couple times, the Bucs have a 3-year window to make a Super Bowl run. We got killed for saying that. We got killed. How dare you say that? Jameis is going to be a
rookie. They got a long window.
Yeah,
we
didn't get killed by Dumig. We got killed by Bucs fans. We wrote about that on JoeBucsFan.com. We got killed.
They had all kinds of cap space, Steve. All kinds of
Well,
cap
here
space.
We are now.
While Winston was under that rookie contract. Now you got to pay.
Did we not get killed, Steve, for saying that?
Oh, of course, yeah.
We got blown up by Bucs fans.
But we get killed for saying a lot of things, which is fine. It's all part of the action. Ira, speaking of action, Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa, Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon, that's where you got to go. EdMoore'sCadillacTampa.com is the website. They're just west of 275 on Fletcher. And Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard, EdMoore'sCadillacBrandon.com. Those are Hillsborough County's only Cadillac dealerships. Ira, I wanted to bring this up to you for your sage take. the first Alex Okafor starter, started the whole season for the Saints last year. Okay. He had this weird, bizarre thing in his contract that said he could void his contract if he got four sacks.
How many starts did he have last year? You have
he started the entire season.
Ahead of that rookie that they picked?
Yeah. Davenport. Came off the bench primarily. You know, they rotated, and but that was the deal. Davenport made his share of starts. I don't know. It was just more of a pure rotation.
Okafor is a nice player, Steve. He's a nice player.
Well, Bruce Arians, I had done the research. Bruce Arians once called Okafor a definite 10-sack guy when he got him in, when he first took him in Arizona. He was a Bulls guy, whatever. He never turned out to be that pass rusher, but was sort of getting healthy last year. Started all 16 games, but getting those four sacks made him a free agent. And he officially he had a chance to void his own contract, and he did that, according to Pro Football Talk. There's a guy who, you know what, if you're looking for some fresh blood who knows the defense.
If you can get him at the right price, Steve.
And he's not going to command a lot of money. He's a 4 or 5 sack guy. Last year, Jason Light paid $8 million for a guy like that. Now maybe they could get him for $4 million.
He's not bad against the run either, Steve.
I mean, was there a weak link in the Saints' defense last year? Weren't they number one against the run in the National Football League? They were.
Well said, my man.
So that's a guy who seems like such a natural for this team. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they'll even spend money on the defensive line when they're supposed to be a great draft class?
I got a very simple answer and a very sage answer. If Arians wants him, he's going to be a buck. How do you like that, Isbitz? You want to argue with that one? And Arians might want him. And he's going to say, unless the guy's got an outrageous contract demand. And like you said, you don't have a lot of leverage coming off a 4 or 5 sack season. I mean, you know, this guy ain't Cam Jordan. And, you know, you give him a decent contract, but nothing that's going to break the bank, Lee. And I think he becomes a valuable piece because, as I said in my column the other day, Lee, and I don't think you'll disagree, Vinnie Curry's departure is the first of several along the defensive line. He ain't going to be the last guy that left. He's the first guy.
You mean Mitch Unrein better be running?
You know, Bo Allen wouldn't shock me. William Golston wouldn't shock me. Noah Spence wouldn't shock me. And Gerald McCoy, quite frankly, wouldn't shock me.
Well, Noah Spence would shock me only because he's not expensive. Golston, yeah, but goodbye. I mean, come on.
I hope Spence gets another chance just because, you know, it's his final year not making money. And
I hear he weighs 180 now, so that might work.
Well, if he weighs 180, he'll weigh 240 by August somehow. The guy's
that'll
amazing.
That'll make him a safety. Yeah, you know. Okafor makes some sense in my mind.
I hope they don't stop at Okafor. Like I said, I'm somehow the stars align right and Clark Hunt loses his damn mind. And let's D Ford hit the market.
As a Chiefs fan, it's not going to happen.
I keep hearing that, but, you know.
You might get Justin Houston, who I think you don't want at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I keep
hearing. But you're not getting D Ford. You're not getting a 26-year-old pass rusher.
I keep hearing that, but what have they done?
They got to pay the man. Got to pay D Ford.
Again,
pay him.
Until they do something. Until they do something. So, you know, and I agree with you. It makes no sense. But they haven't shown, outside of talk, they haven't shown any inclination they're going to do anything. That may change in 2 weeks. I don't know. That my prayer is Ford hits the open market. The money that was in this is not anti-GMC. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself here because I know people are going to freak out what I say. They love GMC, but he's on the wrong side of 30, and Father Time is undefeated. I'm sorry. So the money was allotted to the GMC. You put in Ford's pocket. Then all these people have a walking erection about this Williams guy from Alabama, this defensive tackle. They need to draft him at number 5. You got JPP, this Williams character, Vita Vea, D Ford, that's cooking with gas.
And one day DeKemper will wake up from this dream he's having right now because you ain't getting these young studs in free agency. They're not available.
Well, until Kansas City wraps him up, it's a possibility. I'm sorry.
I understand.
You know, I don't know if D Ford would really want to come here.
Money.
Who says the Bucks would be the only
Bucks
suitor?
Bucks don't have a lot of money.
Did I say they would be the only suitor? Come on. I said money. You know, just, you got to cough it up.
They don't have a lot of cap room. They don't.
What did I say about Joe McCoy Satterley?
I understand. But
other
teams got $80 million. Bucks don't.
Cleveland's going to spend $80 million on a defensive end. Okay.
Raiders are looking for people.
Raiders are looking. Deshaun Jackson. Hey, Chucky. Gruden's
got to make up for the Khalil Mack mistake. Yeah, there you go.
Ira, what'd you think of the Joe Flacco trade?
Oh.
You know, I think Denver's looking at him like, hey, we won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning when Peyton Manning was 20% of Peyton Manning. I got news for Denver. You don't have that kind of defense anymore. You won that Super Bowl with defense. You still got Von Miller. You know, you got Chubb. But you don't have Talib. You don't have that secondary that you had. It was a suffocating defense. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for Denver. I just don't think it's going to work. And I don't see him catching either Kansas City or the Chargers in that division. That's a tough division at the top.
100% with Joe Flacco, 20% of Peyton Manning, I don't know. Number two, is this early stages of the CTE for John Elway?
Well,
Number three, what the hell are we talking
John,
about the Broncos
John Harbaugh's no dummy, and he turned on Flacco.
Who's no dummy?
John Harbaugh. And,
yeah.
And he didn't think Flacco
I think Elway's got CTE.
You know, Elway hasn't had a very good last couple of seasons, Steve. He's made a lot of mistakes.
If anything, he's proven, and it's sad to say because he's such a stud quarterback, it tells me he doesn't know how to judge quarterbacks.
I think Denver's going the wrong way, Steve.
I just wanted to see what you thought. Big trade. Yeah. One guy that I'm probably going to write about soon that you know I really think is a very interesting fit for the Bucs for a lot of reasons is Malik Jackson.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be a salary cap cut there. They sort of overdid it in Jacksonville with all the guys on their defense. And the interesting thing about Jackson, Ira, the guy last missed a game in 2012. So we're talking durable. We're talking 28 years old. We're talking playoff experience. We're talking versatility. You would think that and didn't Denver play a 3-4 when he was out there? So I don't know. He seems like a better you know, a better player than most are going to be out there, but who knows what he wants to do. But there's going to be some options
late. There will be some options, no question about it.
But I think ultimately Jason Light is going to have to tell these guys looking for contracts, somebody's going to have to say, guys, we got this amount of money. You've all been offered your deals. Whoever takes it first is in. I don't know how they're going to do this.
I think this Quan Alexander thing's very interesting. We'll talk about it more next week in the podcast, Steve, but it's a fluid situation with Quan Alexander. How do you put a market price on intangibles? Because Lee and I both think that he's an important locker room guy. But Bruce Arians has no ties to him. It's very interesting. But he's not a polished football player, but there's a lot about him that I like.
Oh, his intangibles are through the roof, but you're going to – At some point, I
don't know. I have trouble paying him $10 million.
I think like Justin Pulaski said, the commish, the leader of the stick carriers. And I'm going to stick with stick carriers. The NFL Network knows that name. That was a catchy name.
That's right.
I just don't see Quan Alexander. Again, I say this and people get mad at me, but don't get mad at me. I'm not playing. I'm not putting the results out. Quan Alexander was supposedly a middle linebacker for one of the worst defenses in football history. I'm sorry. What am I supposed to go by hoping? Oh, you see that cloud out there? It looks like Rachel Watson. Guess what I'm going to do tonight in bed? That's what you're basically saying.
We have a Rachel Watson reference.
I hope Quan Alexander's Dick Butkus because he acts like a cartoon character.
Steve,
I'm just glad Lee said Butkus. Yeah, go ahead.
Steve, look. I'm not making
that
this
was
up.
Great. I think we should just go out on that note. That was fantastic.
A lot of Buck fans think that these guys are going to develop differently with a different coaching staff. I'm not sure they're wrong. We'll see what happens because some of them are going to have a chance to stick around and see if they can reach the next level.
Look, you got to pay Quan in 3 weeks, not in when he's ready. You got to pay him in 3 weeks. That's when free agency starts. Otherwise, he's out there. And I can't imagine that they're going to make a decision to pay him the money he's looking for in 3 weeks when he can do a squat with an air bubble so he doesn't fall over.
You don't know if he can play football. You don't know. Just FYI, people, how many people went nuts because Revis wasn't 100% his first year at the Bucs? People were screaming, you got to play him man-to-man. Well, he wasn't able to because he was still recuperating. Same thing, people. Same thing.
Steve, you can't beat a Rachel Watson reference. To end the podcast. So there you go.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Actually, I meant to say running on a treadmill in one of those air bubbles, but Oh, well. All right, Sage. I hope your cold dissipates.
Thank you. And, you may not be with us at the next podcast.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Final thought?
Final thought. The Kemper, bundle up. You're going to Indy, baby. Bundle up.